I would like to invite you to turn to today's Old Testament reading, which is 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. As always, you're invited to follow along in your own Bible or device, or you can take a pew Bible from in front of you, or you can listen as I read these words from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Solomon made a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people were sacrificing at the high places. However, because no house had been built for the Lord, for the name of the Lord, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David. Only he sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walks before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, although I am only a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you walk in my ways, keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." Then Solomon awoke. It has been a dream. It had been a dream. He came to Jerusalem, where he stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. He offered up burnt offerings and offerings of well-being and provided a feast for all his servants. To catch you up a little bit, since it's been a little while, we're in the midst of a sermon series about servanthood called Me Second. Me Second. God First, Me Second, or God's will first, mine second. Today we're talking about a biblical figure we don't often associate with servanthood. In fact, we sometimes think the opposite. We think rich and powerful and kingly Solomon. But today we're looking at a servant's heart, as we just read in this prayer of Solomon. We seek to serve with our time and our skills and our resources and our gifts. All of us who are followers of Christ and who seek to walk in His ways seek to give of ourselves or to serve in some way and to the best of our ability. And some of us think it's just best to jump in and serve. Don't even give it any thought. As Nike says, just do it. Just jump in and serve. But should there be some thought prior to serving? Should there be some wisdom and discernment that we invoke or pray from the Lord? It might seem like conventional wisdom. Well, you may have even been told at one point, don't wait, just do it. Just jump in and get your hands dirty. Joe was a missionary serving in East Africa. This is, by the way, not a missionary of a partner organization of ours. I'll put it that way so we don't have to feel embarrassed for what's about to come. But Joe was serving in a country in East Africa, and the time came for his village to receive the Christmas presents that churches in the United States had gotten together for that village. And so this little boy was preparing to open his Christmas present, and he pried open the box, and what did he find but a plastic orange thing that went like this, about 100 times over. It was a slinky. The little boy pulled out the slinky and looked at it with bewilderment. Didn't really know what to do with it. It was a plastic toy that was wrapped around tightly about 100 times. Well, the local pastor saw the look on his face and decided to jump in and see if they could figure out how to use it. So they took the slinky, were trying to figure out what to do. And so before too long, the pastor hooked it to his collar and started swinging it around his neck like this. They had no clue what to do with that gift. They finally figured out a use for it, I suppose. Joe, the missionary, laughingly recalled that slinky being a comically terrible present. It may not seem like a big deal. We might say, Jeremy, why are you harping on a church or an individual who was able to send a gift to someone who didn't already have a slinky? Or why are you harping on someone who might just seek to be generous and to give something or to serve in some way? Well, I suppose you have a case. I suppose you have a point there. But Joe the missionary said, being generous requires us to dedicate profound thought to what the person actually needs. He went on to say, so often the church associates generosity with the free giving of stuff, but it's not. That I've seen Westerners come in and drop off a whole bunch of stuff, toys, free food, tons of clothes. So typically it's not useful. They're paying a lot for overseas shipping, and suddenly the local food and clothing vendors don't make their living for the week. Kind of makes you think, doesn't it? Kind of makes you think, boy, I should really be putting some thought into how I serve or give to someone. Now, this particular story is about a gift or a present or giving something physically, but I think it gets at a larger point that we all possess gifts to give in some way. We are all servants at heart, and we can give ourselves as servants in some way, shape, or form. And once again, I think we like to jump right in, get our hands dirty. Maybe the most obvious or practical way to do that is to find some resource to give away. But we don't always ask, is this the best way I can serve God? Is this the best way I can serve the least of these among us? Is this a legitimate, useful way of serving my neighbor? Does this service or gift or whatever I may be offering provide some cheap instant gratification, or does it provide long-term growth and assistance to those who can't help themselves? Look, there may be decent ways of serving. There may be even better ways of serving. There may be life-changing, world-changing means of service. And there may be even unhelpful and damaging means to serving others. Solomon didn't want that. Solomon acknowledged that even despite his lineage and his gift of being able to sit on the throne as his father David, Solomon admitted to being like a child. Solomon said, I don't know what I'm doing here. I need your help, God. I need your guidance. I need to know how best to serve the people Israel. I need guidance into how my rule can best serve them. Solomon prayed this prayer as he began his rule. His service, his kingly service, began with prayer and seeking wisdom. And he didn't see that as separate from his service to God's people. It was at the forefront of his rule. Solomon is often regarded as the wisest figure of the Bible. The wisest figure of the Bible. His name is almost synonymous with wisdom as we approach the scripture. And yet he said he didn't have the right mind to govern without first going to God. He didn't even know if he had the ability to discern between good and evil, who are how to go out and rule and how to come back in. Even Solomon, the wisest of all, said, I need help. He did not ask for selfish things. As he approached his servanthood, he prayed first and asked for God's guidance. Now, it sounds like Solomon didn't jump in feet first. It appears as though Solomon paused and said, how can I best use my position, my service for God's glory, and to help others? And my question to you is, how often do you do that in your role of service, whatever that may be for you? Whether in your home or in your church or your place of work or out in the community, how often do you pause and stop and say, Lord, how may I best serve you? Or how may I best serve these people? Or can I give something that is worthwhile to those that I am serving? Is there something more worthwhile, or is there some better way I can use my resources in order to serve others? Paul tells us in Ephesians that you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the world. He said, live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. He goes on to say, make the most of every opportunity. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I think we are being challenged to put serious thought into the ways we serve one another and serve the world around us. This might seem like a wet blanket. You might be saying, Jeremy, I have ways I serve, and I know it works. I've never thought twice about it. Maybe it's time to think twice about it. I don't have anything in mind, by the way. In case you're thinking that I may be pointing to something specific in this church, I absolutely do not have anything in mind. What I know is that we often don't stop and pray enough to discern the will of God and to seek His guidance as we seek to serve one another and to serve this community. Solomon, the wisest figure in the Bible, believed it important to stop and say, God, guide my steps as I seek to serve your people. Solomon didn't seem to think it possible just to jump right in and start doing whatever came to his mind first. But that's kind of what we like to do, right? An idea pops into our mind and we say, that's how we're going to serve. I've got this great idea that I saw at the church down the street, and that's how we're going to serve. That's how we're going to serve here. Or I remember this way that we served back in the 1970s. Let's try it again. We don't always think critically or pray to God and ask Him if we are serving in the right way or if we are preparing to take part in a service that would be pleasing to Him and helpful to those around us. With serving, there must be understanding and wisdom. Serving is not like throwing Jell-O against a wall and hoping that it sticks. Serving is putting ourselves second, approaching the least of these among us, and carefully considering what can most meet their needs in Christ. So today's portrait of a servant ultimately begins in wisdom. The past couple of weeks we have talked about, the past couple of times we've talked about servanthood, we have talked about those who have jumped in and gotten their hands dirty, but there was prayer that went into those as well, and great discernment. And this is just a reminder that service begins with prayer. Solomon, one of the great servant leaders of the Bible, begins by seeking wisdom. It may seem obvious, but I think we're more interested in charging into battle, so to say, than taking the time to pray. Especially considering that God lays before us opportunities to serve that may have the potential to change lives, to change the course of this community. God may lay before us, there may be opportunities before us to give others a glimpse into the kingdom of God. And once again, service may even require great sacrifice on your part. It may ask you to sacrifice great deals of your wealth or possessions or time or energy. Don't you think that requires a little extra prayer? Maybe some extra discernment or meditation over the scriptures to find God's will? I like how also Solomon begins with prayer, but he also begins with humility. Solomon says, I am only a child. In many ways, Solomon is saying, I don't know what I'm doing, Lord. Socrates tells us that the only true wisdom is in knowing that you know nothing. I think it's important that we approach service with at least the mindset that we need to learn more. And that's especially true as we acknowledge that the world is changing around us faster than we can keep up with. Sometimes the church is guilty, and I think any church would probably admit this, as to we find ways to serve that are sometimes 10 years too late. We find ways to serve, and it may not be relevant anymore. It may not be possible anymore because the world around us changes so quickly, and that makes it all the more important to continue to pray right here and right now and to ask God to continue to open our eyes and to guide us in new ways of service that can affect those around us. Every time I have taken a new church as pastor, I've had to relearn what it means to be church. I've had to relearn the culture and the context, not just within the church, but outside the church. When I pastored a church in Mount Washington, Kentucky, it was a rural bedroom community just outside of Louisville, Kentucky, that had a history of staff dysfunction, was very anti-tradition, and I had to learn how to navigate that as a pastor. When I went to Plains, Georgia, it was also rural, but the whole town was a churched town. They still believed in dropping by a random stranger's house and sitting in their living room trying to convert them. This was also a low-income area, an area that had great racial tension. I had to, once again, relearn context and relearn ways to share the gospel because it was completely new to me. And even here in Black Mountain, that's considered a small town, an eclectic town, an expensive town, I've learned there are new ways to share the gospel that I had not thought of before. We're constantly having to learn new ways to be the hands and feet of Jesus to those around us because the world is changing so quickly. And perhaps the one stabilizing force, the one stabilizing act that we can engage in as the world around us changes so quickly is prayer. What I've truly learned is that there is no cookie-cutter approach to pastoring. There is no cookie-cutter approach to worship or to discipleship or to being on mission. First Baptist Church, we must continue to pray for God to give us wisdom and guidance as we seek to serve the people of Black Mountain. It's always tempting to jump in feet first, to say, yeah, I know my sister's church down in Texas did this, it'll probably work for us. Or it might be tempting to say, I know a church in West Asheville, this works for them for, so it'll probably work for us here. We might say, I read an article the other day that says the church of the future is going to do this, so we should try this. We might say, Jeremy, I really remember something that worked back in 1979, I think we should try it. That may be true. We might say there's our path forward, but I would encourage you instead to take the mindset of Solomon as we serve and say we've got a lot to learn as a church family. We've got some things that have got to change here, but we also have faith that God is going to show us the path because we're going to be a praying church. We're going to pray. We're going to seek God's guidance as we seek to serve each other and to serve those around us. I think ultimately this is where we get to the point, is that we are looking and praying and seeking to find a way to be a better church to one another and to this community. That's what all churches are praying for. That's not a First Baptist prayer. We are all seeking ways to do church better and to serve this community better. There was a secular leadership book that had a profound effect on my thinking called Good to Great by Jim Collins. Some of you may have read it. It asks that an organization or a nonprofit or a business or a church begins with the assumption that we're doing great work, or we're doing good work. And so First Baptist Church, I would begin to say, we're doing good work. We're doing good work here in Black Mountain. But it then challenges us to ask, how can we do great work? Doesn't mean you have to be all down on what you're already doing. Doesn't mean that you say nothing's working, we have to change everything. But the book Good to Great challenges organizations to ask, are we fine with being good? Or do we want to be great? I think that's what Solomon was seeking as he prayed to God and as he sought to serve with wisdom. And I think God challenges us in the same way. I sense in you, First Baptist Church, a desire not to settle for anything that's good, but to press on towards doing what is great in the name of Christ. Let's take our cue from Solomon in making wisdom a central part of our journey here at First Baptist Church as we seek to join with Christ in the great work he is already doing in our community. Let's pray together.